Okay. Let's have the kids, fifth grade and under. You guys, actually, we're going to have this straight to Sunday school this time with Mrs. Osterley and Mr. Cox in the back there.
Pastor Rick Warren, the satellite, provides the outlines for the messages. And so
lot easier for me. So make sure you pick up the outlines each week, and those come right from Saddleback. But the lessons are just the tip of the iceberg. The next element in 40 days is going to be the 40 days devotional, where you'll take about 5 minutes a day and have a little devotional time with the Word. And in the past, they've also put these devotionals in a book, like maybe you read the 40 Days of Purpose. 40 Days of Purpose was written as a devotional book. The Purpose Driven Life, I'm sorry, was written as a devotional book for the 40 Days of Purpose. Well, this time they've gone a little more high tech. All right. What they did was they went out and they had 40 of the top Bible teachers in the nation, and they recorded these short videos, like 4-5 minute videos, as well-known pastors, and short devotional on the Word. So we're going to have video devotionals for 40 days. So what you can do, and I recommend that you start this next Sunday, but if you just can't wait and you get going on it now, and you'll see this in your bulletin sheet as well. I put a note on that to receive the daily devotionals. But you're going to go to 40daysintheword.com or 40DITW, and again, I put it in your bulletin sheet. And you go and you register there, and you tell them if you want it by text or by email, however you want it. And they're going to send you a link that you can click on and watch a short 4 to 5 minute video by Bible teachers. Will help you get deeper into the Word of God. So that's element number two. And you can, again, you can start checking that out now, or just get it going for next Sunday. You can actually tell them, I think, when you want to get it started. Element number three, that's the most important part of the 40 days, which is our small group studies. And I'm really excited about these studies. Saddleback Church, again, the church that came up with this campaign, videotaped these studies and put them on DVD. And in 40 days in the Word, we're going to cover 6 sessions. Rick Foran, the pastor of the church here, is going to teach in these sessions how to study the Bible for yourself. So you're not always dependent on other people. You don't have to look to me or anybody else to figure out what a verse means or how to study it. He's going to teach you what he would say is the simplest method of Bible study, called the devotional Bible study method. One element that some churches do, I don't want to overload us, but if there's something you want to check out for yourself, Rick Warren, actually, his first book he ever wrote was called Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods. And he's talking about 12 different methods of studying God's Word. Devotional method is just one of those. You can do character studies, and thematic studies, and biographical studies, and different things like that. But this devotional method is going to teach is just a great thing you can do it anywhere. While you're sitting waiting for a doctor's appointment, or you're, on a plane, on a bus, wherever you are, in a waiting room somewhere, you can do this. So we're also going to teach, and you're going to learn through the small groups, 6 ways to meditate on Scripture. And there's an entire workbook that you will have that helps you go through. We'll be giving these to everybody in the small group that will, as we learn to love the Word, learn the Word, live the Word. And I know this seems like a big, big thing. This isn't all just the studies. There's additional stuff in here, Bible study methods, and how do I know that the Word is true. There's a lot of things in small group resources in here. So there's more than just the small group outlines and things like that in the book. So we're gonna have those as well. And there's all sorts of helpful things about small groups in there as well. Because if you weren't able to hear our video, it's good to have some other tips. Alright, the fourth component of the campaign is a weekly easy to remember Bible verse. And each week we're gonna learn a verse on the Bible, and we're gonna memorize it together. We're gonna hand out everybody one of these bookmarks that has it, so you can have it right in your Bible, or take two and stick one in your, on your mirror of your car, or whatever safe, wherever you want to put it, on your fridge, somewhere you're gonna look at it a lot. And so that's gonna be our fourth component to the campaign. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, most famous sermon in the Bible, by telling a story. It says this: there's 2 guys coming out and built homes. They built houses. And they built them on different foundations. One guy went out and built his house on a solid rock. And he found the solid rock and built it on that foundation. Other guy went and built his house on sand.
this foundation was sand. And then the, you know, the unexpected, you know, when it got real warm here, I don't know about you, the basketball hoop at my house fell down and it got real windy. And you have all these woke winds come, and the tsunami comes, and Hurricane Sandy hits, and it says the winds came, the floods rose, and the winds blew and beat against it, and the rains came down. And the house that was built on a shifting foundation of sand collapsed. But the house that was built on solid rock was able to withstand the storms of life. Jesus says after saying the story, he says in Matthew 7:24, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine, right, as the word of God, the Bible, and puts them into practice, and we're going to teach you how to do that, how to put it into practice, is like that wise man who built his house on the rock. So this weekend starts us off. Before you get into 40 days, I want to look at how do you do that? How do you build your life on the Bible so that when the storms of life and the difficulties of life inevitably come to you, as they will to all of us, that you'll be able to handle it? Because we don't know what's going to happen in 2013. But I can guarantee you this, you're going to have storms in your life. Emotional storms, health storms, maybe financial storms. And if you are not built on the solid rock of God's Word, on the foundation of something that doesn't shift, then you're going to crumble. You can't build your life on the opinions of others. You can't build your life on popular opinion. You can't build your life on culture. You have to build it on unchanging truth. If you have a Bible with you, you can open up to James 1. That's where we're going to be most of the day. But if you open up to James 1, in the book of James chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 19 down to verse 25. If you don't have a Bible with you, on your bulletin, on your all verses we're going to be looking at are on the screen out here as well. Now, as we prepare for the 40 days, look at the subject of how do I build my life on the Bible? And the answer is to look at the way that God wired you and shaped you. God gave you five senses: smell, hearing, taste, touch, feeling. And everything you know, everything you experience in life comes from one of those senses. That's how you encounter life. God wants you to learn to counter the Bible with every one of your senses. So we're going to look at this today. We're going to find James 1, 19 through 25. So taking notes, the first way that I build my life on the Bible is this: that I receive it with my ears. I receive it with my ears. When we're talking about the Bible, hearing the Word of God, hearing God speak to you. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. So every time you hear me teach a message, or you hear a Bible teacher, or you hear a study on the radio, when you're hearing the Word of God, your faith is being built. So you're doing this first one right now. You're listening to the Word of God being taught. So that builds your faith. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message comes with the Word of Christ. Now let's see what James says about this. James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen. And circle quick to listen right there in your notes. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept, and if you've got a pen, circle that word, accept, the word planted in you which can save you. It's the word of God that saves us. So, if you don't hear the good news, you can't be saved. He says there, be quick to listen, and that's using my ears, and accept the word. So in this passage, it teaches I must receive it with my ears. It's an interesting word there, accept it, accept the word. And this is something I learned from their Pastor Rick's outlines. In Greek, word, dokome, is literally a hospitality term. It means that you welcome in what you do to welcome in a stranger. Okay? So it means welcome the word. We welcome you, Lord. Come on in. I'm wide open. It's an attitude of acceptance. If you're going to get the Bible into your life, you have to start with it. I'm wide open. I've got an attitude of acceptance. I accept the word. I accept the word planted in me. And then it says planted. Okay? That the word is planted. Interesting. Often in scripture, sower that Jesus told the story where he says, receiving the word is actually the seed being planted in your life. Now those of you that farmers or the farmer's market or you do a lot more gardening than I do, you know this a lot better than I do. But if you take the exact same seed and plant it in three different locations, and in one you're going to get giant tomatoes, another you're going to get little tomatoes, and another you're not going to get anything at all. What's the difference? The difference isn't the seed. The difference is the soil. The soil has to be prepared for the seed. You got to mulch it, you got to break it up, kind of put some fertilizer in there, maybe you're going to grow, whatever it is you're going to do to it. The soil has to be prepared. It's the same for you to hear God. Your heart has to be prepared. If you come to church and then you got a plate and you rushed in and, when I got where I was going, I started driving to work instead of coming here and maybe it's freezing rain and you get in and just really irritated and, in a bad mood and then you sit down and say, okay, God, I'm ready to talk to you. It's going to be very hard to hear God's voice. We're not in a receptive mood. That's why you can take two people to church. You can take two people to church, sit side by side, and one will walk out and say, man, that was powerful. That gave me a lot to think about. And another person can say, well, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, what's the difference? Heart preparation. So for good reception, the pastor teaches you have four attitudes. So do you remember when we used to have, some of you I know it's all digital now. You have the television with the antenna on, you get better reception. Now it's more with a, you hear me now. Working on the good reception. We're looking for good reception in God's word. So in order for you to hear God, you have to have good reception. The Bible says that's a matter of your heart's attitude. Write down these four attitudes. For good reception, I need to be quiet. Okay, first it says I'm going to be quiet. For good reception, hear God speak to me, I have to be quiet. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, I've been told before, Cal, when you're talking, you're not listening. Because I think that's what they said. I don't know. But anyway, he said, you got to be quiet. You can't hear God if you're talking. Second thing is, for a good reception, I need to be calm. Right? It says, and be slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And why am I talking about anger? He's talking about the Bible. Because you don't hear much when you're angry. We don't hear much when we're upset. We can't really hear what somebody else is saying when we're irritated, when we're angry, when we're uptight, when you're emotionally upset, you get defensive. You're not really in a listening mood. On the other hand, when you're emotionally relaxed, and you're quiet, and you're calm, you really can't hear what the other person is saying. The same thing is true for getting into the Bible. You've got to be quiet, you've got to be calm, you're going to let God speak to you from the Bible. Okay, God, I've got 5 minutes, okay, talk to me really quick, I've got to go, see you later. If you're frantic, you're not going to hear God speak to you. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. But, by the way, did you know that, and I just learned this week, is that listening actually lowers your blood pressure and speaking raises your blood pressure. So if you need to lower your blood pressure, you ought to be a little more listening. I need to be calm, I need to be quiet. The third thing for good reception, I need to be clean. In other words, I can't have a lot of junk in my life, a bunch of sin power, but I expect to hear God speak to me. Third thing he says, get rid of all the moral filth and evil that's so prevalent. He's saying before you do the seeding, right, sometimes you have to do some weeding. You don't just go out and start the garden, start planting seeds. First, you have to break up the soil and get rid of the dirt clods and take out the rocks and get some of the weed, pull the weeds out. You get the soil ready so it's clean. It's not full of junk. You get the soil, all ready for the seed. It says get rid of two things. Get rid of filth and get rid of evil. Interesting, this word filth, the word for this is preparing. And it actually means earwax. Stuff in the that's what the filth is talking about. It says, get rid of the earwax. The point is, I can't hear God. I've got a bunch of junk in my ear. I'm mentally blocked. And he says, well, God never speaks to me. Well, one of the problems may be having earwax. Emotional, spiritual, mental, ethical earwax. That, you know, God says you can't hear because you've got junk in your life. It plugs up the sound. He says, get rid of the filth and evil, which is anything that we know in our lives is wrong. And he says, get rid of that before you come to me. You know, for the kids at Ezone, with the straw path of the walk across the property when you come across the back of the parking lot and come up here, kind of put that in. So we don't have grass down yet, so it gets really muddy out there. But we got the straw path, so we can just walk on that. Well, the problem is some kids like to get muddy. You know, have I seen the path, but I like going squish, squish. And then they get here, and you know, before they come in, they gotta, you know, bang out the feet outside and scrape off the feet inside. They gotta clean up first. When we meet with God, we gotta take out and do some, you know, take out some emotional garbage too. Get rid of stuff that's kind of stinking up our life. We're not gonna hear God if our mind is filled with pornography or resentment or jealousy or any other junk in our life. Not going to hear God. And just a quick note, how do I take out the garbage spiritually? The Bible calls it confession. Confession simply means to agree with God. That was wrong, God. You're right. I was wrong. When you say that, when you do that, that's confession. When you look at something and say, Lord, it was wrong for me to say that to my kids. It was wrong for me to act that way towards other people. That's called confession. So I get calm, I get quiet, I get clean, and the fourth thing that I need to do, I need to be humble. That's the fourth thing he says. Humbly accept the word planted, which you can be saved. And what does it mean to be humble? It means to be ready to do whatever it is that God speaks to me from his word. If I come with a prideful attitude, God, you tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not, that isn't going to work. I need to come humble. These are just spiritual hearing aids for the first way to get God's word into your life. I receive, I accept, I receive God's word through my ears. I hear it. I hear it by being humble, quiet, clean, and then humble. It's a good way to get the word of God in your life. But if that's the only way, if hearing is the only way, then we're not going to grow very much. Because the problem is, we forget 95% of what we hear within the first 72 hours. That's why outlines like these are good, you know, to write it down. So hearing is a good way to get the word of God in your life. But if you get 95% of it, you got to have deeper ways. The second way to build my life on the Bible is to read it with my eyes. I receive it with my ears, but I can read it with my eyes. And we can't grow without reading the Bible. James 1, 22-25, which will open to that, says, do not merely listen to the word. In other words, you ought to listen, but don't merely. Don't just listen to the word. And so deceive yourselves, right? Because you're going to forget it, 95%. So do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word, talking about the word of God, but does not do what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. You know, and notice the mirror analogy here. He says, looks at his face like he's looking into a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And that's what happens, you know, a lot of times on Sunday. You hear a message, by the time you get to the parking lot, maybe you've already started to forget it. So he looks in the mirror, he looks at himself, and then he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. He says, but, and now here's the opposite. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, right? The Bible sets us free. So, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So, the whole reason why we're doing the 4 days in word is this. We want you to be blessed. I don't want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed in every area of your life. I want God's blessing on your family. I want God's blessing on your work, on your finances, on your health. The Bible says if you do these 5 things, you'll be blessed. Let's go back and circle. Talk about the first one. He says, listen. He says, don't merely listen. He said, the man who looks intently. Circle those words, looks intently. That's one of the ways you get blessed. That's reading the Bible. Then he says, continues to do this. So circle that word, continues. That's reviewing the Bible. Then he says, not forgetting what he's heard. That's remembering the Bible. Circle that one, not forgetting. It's just but doing it. And that's responding to the Bible. He will be blessed in what he does. So be blessed that we are to do these things. And we're going to go back and we're looking at them today. We're going to cover them in more detail for the 4 days of the Word. But just look at them just one at a time. First it says, the person who looks, we're looking at James still. The person who looks intently. What's he talking about here? He's talking about reading the Bible. Okay? But when I read it, it helps me read it. When I read the Bible, I read on it. Read it. Reflect on it. Think about it. Ponder it. Look intently. So the person who does this, it's like looking in a mirror. And many times in Scripture, the Bible is compared to a mirror. The Bible compares itself to a mirror. Think about this. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of a mirror? The purpose of a mirror is to evaluate ourselves. Right? It helps us, the Bible helps us to do that. It's the mirror of God's Word that helps us evaluate ourselves. Now, every one of you probably did it sometime today. You got up this morning, at some point, most likely, before you walked out the door, you paused, and you looked in the mirror, and you assessed the damage from the night before. And I don't have this problem, but some of you might have to run a brush or a comb through the hair, or if not, you know, stick a hat on, or you're just going to, you know, walk out, or maybe, you know, some makeup, or whatever. Actually, you know, Queen Elizabeth, during Shakespearean time, when she got older, she had all the years removed from her palace, because she didn't want a reflection. She didn't want to see how it was that she was aging. So she had all the mirrors removed from Buckingham Palace. And there's two ways to look at a mirror. You can glance in a mirror, or you can gaze into a mirror. Now there's glancing into a mirror. Some of you remember Happy Days, the show? You remember Fonzie, right, Fonz? I mean, he comes to a mirror, and he kind of get up to it and look at it. Hey, right? Because there was nothing to fix. Everything was perfect. It wasn't the hair out of place. That's kind of what I do, because there's nothing to fix. I just get here, hey, and I go on. As long as my top collar buttons are buttoned, I'm good. Alright? So, he didn't do anything because Fonz was a perfection. He had to comb his hair and his glance. You don't want to do that with this mirror. You don't want to do that with God's Word. You know, that's just a quick rush. Lord, I've got 2 minutes. I'm looking. I'm going to look real quick and then I'm going to leave. Glance in the mirror of God's Word is the way to help you change. So you've got to gaze at it. Gaze intently. You look at the details. God wants not just to glance at His Word, but to gaze at His Word. To look intently. And during the 40 days in His Word, during small group times, we're going to introduce you to some Bible reading plans. There's lots of good ones. It doesn't really matter which one that you use. Whatever fits or works best for you. Whatever fits your style. But so you're systematically reading through portions of the Bible on a regular basis, not just sort of a dip and skip method and just, you know, put my finger down and this is what God wants me to learn today. That kind of systematically going through. And we'll talk about that in the small group studies. But I want to have a Bible reading plan because I want to receive God's Word with my ear. I want to read God's Word with my eyes. And the third way, put your life on the Bible. Third way, I research it with my hands and my mouth. I'll explain this to you. I'll research the Word of God with my hands and my mouth. This is Bible study. Researching is Bible study. Now, is there a difference between Bible reading and Bible study? Yes. Reading the Bible is reading the Bible. Studying the Bible is studying. It's not studying if you have a pen or a pencil that you're writing it down. Kind of like what you're doing right now. In fact, there's two components of study, writing it down and talking about it with somebody else. That turns reading into study. I write something down, I talk about it with somebody else, now I'm studying the Scripture. And that's why we're doing small groups. Because that's what you're going to be doing with small groups. You actually study best in a group. You listen, and you write, and you read, and you talk. You use your hands and your mouth to study the Word of God. So I write down what I learned, and I talk about it with others, what I learned. So in a small group study in 40 days of the Word, Pastor Rick is going to talk to you about how to do this. Oops. Okay. John 5, 39, Jesus says this. You search the Scriptures, and you've got that on your sheet. Circle the word search. He's talking about Bible study here. He's talking about research. Research the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures. Because you believe they will give you eternal life. And the Scriptures point to me. Now we're going to show you how you can see Jesus all through the Old Testament. Not just in the New Testament. You search the Scriptures. that's researching from my hand to my mouth. And Acts 17, Luke talks about a group of people in a city called Berea. Berea is just a little town in Greece. And he says that the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was another city in Greece. So the Bereans were more open-minded than those who lived in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures. Circle that word again, search. They searched the scriptures, that's studied, not just reading it. Day after day, they checked up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. So these guys are searching the scriptures. They're reading it, and not just reading, they're studying it. They're writing it down. They're having a small group discussion. That's what's going on here. And the people were listening to Paul preach, and then they're going over and having a discussion on it, which is what we're going to do in our small group. The third way is I research it with my hands and my mouth. And then the fourth way, to build my life on the Bible, is that I review it and I remember it with my mind. I review it and remember it with my mind. I review the Word of God, I remember the Word of God in my mind. The Bible says this in James 1:25. It says, the man who looks intently, that's reading, into the perfect law and continues to do it, that's reviewing, not forgetting what he's heard, that's remembering, right? He will be blessed in what he does. So if you're going to be blessed in what you do, you've got to learn how to review and remember with your mind. Review means you continually do this. You're pondering, you're thinking about it over and over. You're remembering, not forgetting. And if you're serious about being spiritually strong and mature, meaning you don't want to be a spiritual, maybe even a little more, you don't want to still be sort of on the bottle 20 years from now. You want to be spiritually, emotionally strong. One of the greatest habits you can develop is the habit of memorizing some scripture. By hiding the word in your heart, by putting it in your mind. So we review, continually do this. You're pondering, you're thinking about it over and over, remembering, not forgetting. Okay. And then why would we do this? Because when you need the Bible, many times it's not around. When you're tempted, you don't have a Bible open up or right by your side. When you're witnessing, when you're under stress, when you need comfort, when you have a crisis, there's not a Bible around. You have to have it in your mind. So you can remember it and review it right then. And you might say, yeah, I just have a terrible memory. I can't remember stuff. Well, you remember what's important to you. I mean, you remember phone numbers that are important to you. Remember the dates that are important to you. Somebody says, I can't remember anything, but they can kind of quote you many songs from the 60s, or you know the baseball statistics on your favorite player, or you know stock quotes, or you remember what's important. Memory is a skill that you can get good at. So we're going to teach you some simple ways to improve your memory. Memory is just, it's like a muscle, and you can improve, you can use it to improve and get better. And actually, memorizing scripture will actually help your brain to be stronger in other areas as well. The studies have shown that. But if you learn to memorize scripture, that actually develops your memory, and so you have better memory in other areas. So during the 40 days, we're going to be memorizing verses of scripture each week on the weekends together, so you know these. And so we'll be going over them and reviewing them together, and we'll get everybody one of these. But when you need them, God can call up the mind. And there's a word for what we're talking about here, the skill of remembering and reviewing the Bible, and God's Word. It's called meditation. That's all meditation is. Meditation is simply remembering or reviewing the scripture in your mind. That's all it means. And we're not talking about a new age thing. I know people hear the word meditation, you think sitting in a loaded position and contemplating the lint in your belly button and going, oh, that's not what we're talking about with meditation here. It's a skill of remembering and reviewing. And you know why that's so important? Joshua 1, verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law, the Bible, God's law, God's word, depart from your mouth. That means talk about it all the time. Meditate on it. How often? Day and night. Okay, circle that word, meditate. God tells you, God commands you, meditate on the Bible day and night. In other words, when you're eating, when you're sleeping, when you're drinking, when you're playing, when you're running. It says, so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be, and you can underline it, prosperous and successful. Now, I know there's a lot of people that come out with the prosperity gospel, and I don't believe in that. There's one verse in the Bible, that only in the Bible is this verse. God says, if you'll do what I tell you to do in this verse, you'll be successful. And I didn't say that. God said that. That you'll be successful. What did he say? If you meditate on my word day and night, if you remember it and you review it, okay? And this is really important. So in the small groups, Pastor Rick, I'm going to teach you 6 ways to meditate on Scripture. So in our small group, so you need to be in one of the small groups to get that. Because that's the key to the blessing here. Meditating on the Word of God so you can do it. You think about it constantly. And there's one more way that I build my life on the Bible. First, I receive it with my ears, I read it with my eyes, I research it with my hands and my mouth. Write down notes, I talk about it, I review it, remember it with my mind. The fifth way is, I respond to it with my actions. I respond to it with my actions. James 1, 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Right? Turn it into action. It says, don't deceive yourself. Now, how do we deceive ourselves? Well, we think if we've heard something, then we've got it. Right? No. I can talk to you how to be maybe like a good father, but if you don't do it, it doesn't help. You're just deceiving yourself. Mark Holleran could talk to you about how to build a balanced budget based on scriptural principles. But if you don't do it, you're just deceiving yourself. You don't really know. Pastor Rick is fond of saying this. You only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do. I only believe the part of the Bible I actually do. We're going to be doers of the word, not hearers only. I'm going to go back to the story that we started with. When Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew 24 says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, again, underline that, puts them into practice. In other words, you're a doer of the word, you're a applier of the word, you respond to it. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet, it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, right? You come to church, you listen to them, but you don't put them into practice, okay? Doesn't put them into practice. It's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. I don't want that to happen to you. And I'll say it again, we don't know the storms that are going to happen here in 2013 or 14 or 15 or beyond or whatever. But I do know this. You'll crumble if you don't have a solid foundation in your life. A solid foundation for your life is not the opinion of others. It's not what's popular on TV. It's not the prevailing culture. Because that changes like shifting sands. Okay. You have to build your life on an unchanging word. When you build your life on truth, it means if it was true 1,000 years ago, it's true today, and it'll be true 1,000 years from today. The truth doesn't change. It's a rock. You need to build a rock to build your life on. And if your life is not built on a rock, I'll tell you how you'll know. I think you might have stress, but you won't have unnecessary stress. You know, because the sands are shifting and the house is tilting, and you feel stressed and worried and anxious about that because your house isn't solid and steady, it's not built on something that doesn't change. This is a tool to remember, and see if I get this right, because this is Pastor Rick's. But it's a tool to remember the 5 ways to get God's word in your life. This guy, actually, it's not even Pastor Rick's, but this guy named Dawson Trotman, who founded the Navigator Group, and he came up with this. I'm trying to share. He says, the little finger will be here again, right? I receive it with my ears, and I research it with my eyes. I'm sorry, I read it with my eyes. I research it with my mouth and my hands. I review and remember it with my mind, and I respond to it with my actions. So let's say if your only Bible intake is just hearing it, you're holding your Bible with your pinky, all right? Now, I've got it, but it can be taken from you pretty quickly, right? It's like the seed that's sown, the thing can come snatch pretty quickly from you. And, you know, like I said, you forget 95% of what you hear within 72 hours. All right, let's say, well, I don't just come to church and hear the Bible, I read it. That's better. That's a little better grip than getting my other finger on here. Okay? Now I got two fingers. But still, just hearing and reading, you know, it still can be pulled out of my hand. But if I hear the Word of God, I remember it, or read the Word of God, or research or study the Word of God with some friends in a small group, or review the Word of God and meditate on it, and then I respond to it, now I've got a grip. Now I've got a grip, and nobody's taking this out of my hand. Nobody's pulling this truth out of my hand. That I'm solid and secure, and not stressed, because I'm built on the rock. And that's my goal for each of us in the next 40 days. Let's pray. And you can just, if you'd like, pray a simple prayer along with me. God, I want to build my life on the rock this morning. I'm not on sand. I want to have a solid foundation of truth. God, I want to do that from hearing your word and reading it. Researching with my hands and the mouth and applying it to my life. Hey, Father, I want to get with a group of other people to study your word and talk about it together. God, help me to do that. Help me to memorize your word and have it in my heart so I can get upset or tempted or troubled. That your word is always there with me. God, I just pray that you would help me to do that. God, I know that I have done some wrong things in my life, and I want those things to be cleaned up and taken away. I want to be forgiven for those things, and God, I don't even know how. I just ask for your help, but first for your forgiveness. I can be a part of your family, and as your son, your daughter, learn more about your word. That I want to trust you for my salvation, not anything of my own self or my own works.